Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Stone Chapel, a podcast of the staff and friends of the Lanier Theological Library in Houston, Texas. My name is David Capes. I'm the Senior Research Fellow at the Library and your host for this series of podcasts. Our purpose is fairly simple. We want to bring to you great conversations with leading experts from around the world on biblical, theological, historical, and archaeological themes. Well, the list goes on. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Today on the Stone Chapel, Kevin Grasso, who is the co-founder and CEO of Biblingo, which is a fabulous way of learning Greek. It's an online method. It is extremely affordable, and we want our folks to know about it. I think it's great. Kevin, thanks for being with us today on the Stone Chapel.
Thanks for having me, David.
So tell us a little bit. Here's my roadmap. Number one, who is Kevin Grasso? Second thing is I want to talk about Biblingo itself, what you guys are doing, what your mission is, and what you hope to accomplish. And finally, I just want to say to our audience, you know, if they want to get involved, how do they do it? You know, if they want to learn more about this. So that's what we're going to do. Let's start off with who is Kevin Grasso?
Yeah, so I currently live in Atlanta. I just moved back from Israel with my wife and son. We are about to adopt two girls from Liberia.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, yep. So we have a lot of changes ahead of us.
Oh, man. And, you know, moving across the big water is just huge, right?
For sure.
And two kids coming from Liberia soon. Wow.
Yeah.
Your family dynamics are going to change.
Yeah, so there have been a lot of changes recently. So that's just kind of how our lives are at the moment.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that.
Yeah, thanks. So academically, I just finishing up my PhD in Hebrew from Hebrew University, and actually an MA in comparative religion there as well.
So two degrees then. Wow,
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah. So I originally have my MA in linguistics from actually what is now Dallas International University, Wycliffe School in Dallas, and then I went to Hebrew University to get my PhD and tacked on a master's at the end.
While you're there, just for the heck of it, yeah.
Just I mean, the thinking was that I won't have a degree in anything related to Bible technically, right? I have a master's in linguistics and a PhD in Hebrew. And so I wanted something, you know, on paper to show like I know something about the Bible. And Israel is just a fantastic place to learn about, you know, Second Temple Judaism and just all kinds of things. So, so my interests are really in linguistics and trying to bring that into exegesis and ultimately into theology. So I'm very interested in, you know, how language shapes the way we understand and interpret the Bible, and ultimately plays itself out in, you know, how we live, right, and how we know and understand God and how we follow Jesus. So that's me in a nutshell.
That's terrific. Well, you and Nick Messmer, is it Messmer? Is that the right pronunciation? Okay, I want to make sure because I've not met him. I've just emailed him some. You guys have started Biblingo, and it is a fabulous website and program and idea. So let's describe it a little bit for those who aren't looking at a computer now. If they want to look at a computer and go to it, what do they do? Where do they go?
Yeah, so go to biblingo.org, and so that's biblingo.org, and you can start a free trial there. And you know, in the free trial, you can, you know, see exactly what the program is like. But the basic idea is that while I was in Israel, I filmed a lot of these sentences. So I first wrote sentences in Greek and Hebrew, right, and then I filmed representations of them, trying to recreate the biblical world as much as possible, right? So I had, you know, actors dressed up in, you know, first century clothing. We went to places that had reconstructed, you know, houses and villages and whatever of the ancient world. And then we just filmed these short scenes, right, that would reflect the meaning of the Greek and Hebrew sentences. So the idea being that we wanted you to learn as much as possible in the way that, you know, a 5-year-old would learn Greek and Hebrew back then, right? They would see the world, right? And their specific world, and they would hear the Greek and Hebrew sounds, right? And then they would make these connections between the words that they were hearing and the world that they were seeing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the idea, is that we want to you to make those connections as well, so that when you ultimately, so that when you read the text, right, you can picture the world that they were seeing in your mind. That's the basic idea.
And so is that what you mean? I mean, one of the things you that sort of flashes through on the opening page, I think it was, is it, not so much let's memorize this, but let's just internalize it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the idea is, you know, you as a human, you know how to use language, and that's just something, you know, pretty much every human is born with. You know, even if you can't speak, right, those who are deaf, they sign language is a language, right? And mm-hmm. and we as humans just innately are very good at using it. We're not at analyzing or memorizing it, right? So mm-hmm. if you ask someone to memorize a paradigm, they will have to look at it a lot, right, in order to spit it back out at you in the correct way. If you ask them, however, to learn a language, right, and you set up the context to where you present present words, right, in meaningful ways, mm-hmm. they will pick mm-hmm. up on it immediately. And I've done this, right? And this is how, you know, immersive classes work, right? Mm-hmm. You go to class, you don't know any Hebrew or Greek, right? And they hold up a little figurine of a horse, and they say hippos, right? And then you say, oh, you immediately recognize, oh, okay, so in Greek, right, this sound refers mm-hmm. to this thing in the world, right? And that just sticks in your memory much, much better. And you internalize that, right, without even having to try to memorize it.
Mm. I have a former professor of mine had this statement. I took a course with him on the Gospel of John years ago. Lacoste Munn was his name. And he said, and he had this, he kept saying this, a language is many things, but it's mostly words. I mean, it's just, you know, a brilliant little statement. But you got to know the words, but it's instead of just having a flashcard that says hippos and you turn it over and it says horse, or sus, and you turn it over, it says horse or whatever. Instead of doing that, you're actually seeing a horse or a representation of a horse and a toy horse, that kind of thing. And it seems to me a much better way after a while of getting into this.
Yeah, I mean, and again, this is just something, you know, that our program is built on second language acquisition principles, right? So just the mm-hmm. idea is that, you know, people have studied this and have concluded that a better way to learn vocabulary is to, you know, not get rid of the English word. I mean, and some people will say that, but studies have actually shown that the English word is helpful. But the picture, it also, and hearing the audio, right, also engage your mind in a different way. Right. And that's the whole point is that what we're trying to do is we're trying to engage your mind, in a way that makes it to where Greek for you or Hebrew is something that is inside of you. It's internalized, and you can use it meaningfully without having to think about it, right? So when you see a horse, you can just say hippos, right? Instead of going back to your flashcards and seeing like, oh, what was that again?
Right, yeah, yeah. Now, that's one of the things, you know, I remember years ago I learned Greek and Hebrew, and I had flashcards and I would use them, right, because I wasn't in an immersive environment. And it's a harder way. I think it's ultimately a harder way. Maybe it's a way that is sort of not innate, like you said. We're innate sponges for language. Mm-hmm. Can someone who's 50, 60, 70 years old do this? Because, you know, the idea that you often hear is, well, I'm just too old to learn this, right? I didn't learn it when I was a kid, so I'm not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And I think in general, that's a perspective that many people have about the biblical languages, period, right? They view Greek and Hebrew as very hard. When in reality, it's actually just the way that we've taught it is just inaccessible to a lot of people. I mean, we have people all over the world using our program at any age, right? From 5 years old to in their 80s, right? I mean, I got an email a few weeks ago, you know, guy just said, hey, I'm 72. I'm just like, I heard that learning a language is good for you. I'm just trying to learn some Greek, right? And that's the kind of thing that most people in the past wouldn't have been able to pick Greek for, right?
Well, I mean, because
it's not done in an accessible way.
I mean, usually you have to be, you know, admitted to a university or admitted to a seminary, and there's cost associated with that. And then there a lot of travel, maybe, if you don't have one in the media area. Or, you know, and the cost of that, you know, per credit hour ends up being pretty expensive. But what you guys are doing is very accessible, not only in the way you do it, but also in the little bit of money that you pay for this particular product and service.
Yeah, yeah. So it's basically, you know, $18 a month to learn one language in the learner path. So if you said, hey, I don't know any Greek, I just want to be able to read the Greek New Testament, right? Our program is designed to be done in a year. We have right now we have 33 or 34 lessons in Greek. Eventually it'll be 52. So, you know, you do one lesson a week. By the end of the year, you are reading simple text in Greek without a dictionary, which honestly, most people that graduate in a year's worth of seminary are not sitting down and reading, you know, with some degree of fluency, a simple text in Greek. They're just, that's just not what level they get to.
It takes another course.
Because they're focusing on different things.
Another half year for them to do it.
Yeah, yeah. And we also, I mean, we have seminary students all the time that are in seminary while they're doing Biblingo. Right, because the practice that they're getting in seminary is not the same as the practice that they're getting in Biblingo, right? And so for them, they're learning about the language in seminary class, but when they come to us, they're learning to use the language, right? And so it's also mutually reinforcing in that sense, because they have to, you know, they don't have to spend as much time memorizing paradigms. Because they've started to internalize the language in a different way.
Yeah, and they use it rather than just sort of recite paradigms and such. So, right. I mean, the cost is great, but how much time would it take? If a person says, okay, I want to sign up for this, it costs $18 a month, but how much time would they need to invest on a weekly basis?
Yeah, so that's a good question. And it's one that I kind of struggle to answer, because it's kind of like asking the question of, okay, if I wanted to, you know, get really good at the violin, how much time would it take for me to do that? And so the question, I mean, obviously it will vary from person to person, depending on just like how good you are at music, right? To begin with. And if you know another instrument, it's going to be much easier to pick up the violin. And the same thing is true with language, right? If you know another language already, it will be much quicker to learn
a third
language.
Who already knows Spanish, is it easier for them to pick up, let's say, Greek?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just because they have that other language. Yeah. Okay.
For sure. But I would say, though, that, I mean, all that being said, right, it is difficult to answer, but we've designed our lessons to be bite-sized chunks. And in this sense, we're kind of like Duolingo, not just a name. I mean, we are quite different than Duolingo, but in this sense, we are pretty similar to them in that we want you to be able to sit down for 15 minutes and make real progress.
Wow.
Right. So if you put in, you know, 15 minutes a day, what you're going to be doing is it's just like, you know, again, it's just like practicing an instrument for 15 minutes. You're not going to get crazy good, right? For just 15 minutes a day. But you are going to make progress. And the key with language is, you know, consistency, just like playing an instrument. You know, you really should just be doing it every day. And so you can get in for as little as 15 minutes progress. What I would say is that if you wanted to go through the whole program, you know, in a year, I would say 30 a, you know, for, you know, four to five days a week, you'll go through the whole thing. By the end, you'll be reading texts without dictionaries in, you know, it probably a little bit slower than English, but not much slower.
Wow, that's great. That's fantastic.
Because, you know, you're just going to have so many reps of doing that same thing. And again, it's like, you know, when you play a certain song in the violin 10 times, you get right. better at it. Right. And that's
every
the
time
idea.
You do
We're
it,
just giving you
get,
a lot of reps.
Better. And that really follows the more natural way of acquiring a language rather than sort of doing it through the language of grammar and paradigms and such. Although, you know, a lot of people have learned to do it that particular way. Now, who's working with you on this? I know Travis Wright, who is a friend of the library. In fact, he and his wife were in here from Cambridge, where he's a student, for 3 or 4 months. I think he was here studying and working at the Lanier Library. But other than Travis, whom we know, who else is helping you?
Yeah. So Travis is running our Biblingo Live. So Biblingo Live is actually a way for students to pair their app time with live interactions with teachers okay. like us, right? And so that allows, especially if you want to learn to speak the languages and hear the languages better, you have an hour a week with an instructor that can speak and, you know, hear the languages. And that's obviously mutually reinforcing as well. So then there's Nick Mesmer, right, is the main sort of business guy. Yeah. So he's all things. If you see something on our website, Nick did it.
And it's a great website. So, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then I do the content. So I'm the one that's, you know, writing the sentences in Greek and Hebrew and doing all that. And then we have another guy, Isaac Hinchman, who also studied in Israel. And I actually met him there. And he is, you know, with me doing content, doing a lot of fixes. And
are you still filming? You film things in Israel. Are you still doing some filming? Because you could, I suppose, just continue the film, even though you wouldn't be in the land of Israel.
Yeah, we actually are not at this point. There will be a few that we have to go back and tweak. But we actually, so we, like I said, we have 33, 34 lessons out. We're going to have 52. All of those have already been filmed. All the sentences have been written. It's a matter of getting all that data in the app in a usable way. And that's where Isaac comes in, which is a much bigger task than you would think. Yeah. So
you got some great people working with you, and we wish you all the luck. For those who might be interested in studying Greek or Hebrew or both with you guys, how would they do that? How would they get started?
Yeah, so you can go to biblingo.org, and you can start. There should be a big button that Nick has put there to start your free 10-day trial. So, you know, you basically, for 10 days, you have access to everything we offer in the program. And then, you know, you can decide on which plan you want and sign up.
So for pastors out there who studied Greek at one point or Hebrew and they want to just freshen up, would they do the learners? Would they do the readers? What would they do?
Yeah, so it depends on your level. I would say, though, that most people that come to us, even if they've taken Greek or Hebrew before, find that the learner path is a challenge.
Okay.
Because we're asking them to do something that they didn't learn to do in seminary, right? So we're at, you know, when you see a picture of a horse, can you describe it in Greek or Hebrew, right? Or if you see a child running out in the street, can you describe that scene in Greek or Hebrew? Those are the kinds of things that we're asking students to do, because we know that if you can do that, then once you get to the text and you read that scene is taking place, you know exactly in the world what that looks like. And so I would suggest that, you know, you start with the learner's path, and then you move to the reader's path. And the program is designed to be done in that order. So the idea is that you spend some time learning the language. And so in the learner's path, if you get to the end, all 52 lessons, you'll know just over, you know, 1,000 vocabulary words, around probably 1,100. Which is
a lot.
I mean, compared to a beginner seminary textbook, it's usually double or sometimes
at least, you know, double that,
triple.
Yeah.
And so you'll know that, but when you come to the text, you are still going to be lacking words. And in order to read a text fluently, you know, again, studies in second language acquisition have said that you should really know about 98% of the words in a text. And so the issue is that you just, you're still going to be lacking words. And so that's why we've created the reader's module, right? So we're keeping track of all the words you know. And in the reader's module, it basically color codes all the words you know in the text with a certain color and all the words you don't know with a different color.
Oh, that's a good feature.
And then you can,
that's a great feature. Yeah.
Right. And then you can sort the text, every chapter in the Bible, according to which chapter you know the most words in. So you can just work through systematically, you know, and learn all the words in a particular chapter or in a particular book in a way that makes the most sense for you.
Well, this sounds like a great, great project, you guys. This is a lifelong project that you guys have ahead of you. But there are thousands of people out there who want to learn these languages or want to keep them up or want to improve. And so I'm hoping that you guys will be very successful in attracting those folks, getting the word out, and just making a big difference in how people read the scriptures. Thanks today for being with us, Kevin Grasso, who is the co-founder and CEO of Biblingo.org. Biblingo.org. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks to Brent Johnson and Janet Seifert for editing these podcasts. Thanks as well to Phil Keggy for our music. These podcasts are made possible by the generosity of Mark and Becky Lanier and the Lanier Theological Library Foundation. If you have questions, comments, or would just like to be in touch, please email us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Lanier is L-A-N-I-E-R. Thanks for listening.